CliffCentral.com.
It's Pooza Thursday.
Yeah, halala. I noticed you moving around a little bit. You're at this microphone some days you're at that microphone. And what's going on with you? You feeling a bit restless?
No, I actually prefer this seat, but now it belongs to Ben.
Oh, well, so if you prefer that seat, kick him out.
No, it's okay.
Whenever someone's away, you take advantage of encroaching on their space.
Yes.
That's what you do. That's how it works in an office.
So this is why I'm sitting here where Ben usually sits.
Well, then we move him. Come Monday, he's going to find himself outside the studio at the the office mic. Outside mic, the window mic.
And on some days, we won't even let him in the building.
Yeah. Hey, Flax, I saw you lost your credit card. You idiot.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going on holiday tomorrow.
Yeah, you're a moron. How did that happen?
So I was really tired yesterday, and I went out for lunch, and I went to go draw money because the place I was going for lunch was a bit of a dodgy place, and I didn't want to swap my credit card there. Because I thought maybe they might scam it, but the food's really good there.
Yeah.
So I went to an ATM to draw cash before, and I forgot to take my credit card out. Because the ATM was in a pretty dodgy place. So I took my money out quickly and I just walked fast. Ooh. And I forgot to take the credit card out. And then I went to go draw money later on in the day.
The lesson here is stop going to dodgy places.
Food was just really good. And then I went to an ATM later in the day because I needed to go draw money to exchange for euros.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my God, I don't have my credit card. Have I left it somewhere? And then I went to the kiosk, and they looked it up, and they said, you left it in this machine, it swallowed it back up, we can have a new card for you in like 10 days.
You know what's interesting about you and your travels overseas is when you went away in December last year, the euro would have cost you, I think it's 4 or 5 rand more.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's hectic.
And so now you're going at the right time. That was not the right time when you did that.
The thing is, everyone says, yeah, the euro is good, it's the right time. But as soon as you go exchange and they start adding commission, it sort of starts leveling out.
Ask Anthea to help you with that stuff.
Like, Anthea says it was something like 14.58.
Oh.
But as soon as you go exchange, they charge you like 15.60.
Yeah.
And then if you pay by credit card, it's even more. But still, I'm very excited to go traveling.
Very good. Where do we begin today? Oh, we got Justice popping in. I mean, yesterday was all about coalitions and voting with people but not being in coalitions with them. And then they had that bizarre press conference. You were at that press conference.
I caught the tail end of that press conference because the official...
Of course, Mabali was there because she represents the Vryheidsfront Plus in the Johannesburg West area.
The official invite that was sent out to the media said the press conference was in Rosebank.
Right.
So when I got to Rosebank, I was turned away and I was told that, no, they moved it.
To where?
To Sandton. So it wasn't, you know, it's not like I had to drive far, far out.
And the traffic is... What is going on the roads at the moment?
So I caught the tail end of that press conference where Musi was sitting next to Bantolo Misa of the UDM.
Yeah, you
send
me a picture.
Musi Lokota of COPE.
There.
Yeah.
Let's see this picture quickly. This is a good picture. Mubs took a photograph. So on the extreme left, there's who's the domestic worker?
Oh, why? That's that's not the domestic worker. That's Pumzile.
Oh, is that Pumzile wearing a duk?
Yes, that's Pumzile van Dam. I don't know who was sitting next to her.
Okay, now next to her is Piet Mulder of the Vryheidsfront Plus.
Oh, no, there was another woman next to Pumzile, but anyway, carry on.
Okay, yeah. You see that woman with the...
Yes, oh,
the woman
with the
headscarf on, I don't know who she is.
No, Pumzile was actually on the far extreme left. She got cut out in that picture. I don't know who that woman is.
Okay, we don't know who she is. Then there's Piet Mulder, who's sitting next to her, which is really funny. And then there's James Self from the DA. The only reason I recognize him is because he's the guy in the painting that Kenny Cornena had commissioned with a very small penis.
Okay.
Then Musi, with a very big penis in the same Kenny Cornena painting. Then Bantu Holomisa, who was also late for the press conference. Then Tara Lakota. And then there's that fat white woman from the ACDP.
Yes, I don't know what her name is, but let's not call her the fat
white woman.
Well, I don't know how to explain
it. Let's just not call people domestic workers and fat
and
white women.
White women.
How about we not do that?
You see, this is the one place in the world we can say what we see instead of having to clean it up. I mean, we talk very honestly here, right?
True, true.
All right. You know what? Let's start off this morning with some positive stuff.
Okay.
Here are 10 things that require zero talent that everyone in the world can do. Do you want to know what they are? 10
okay.
things. And everybody can do this, so don't feel that this is not for you. This is for all of us. Every single person can do every single one of these things.
All right.
Number one, you can be on time.
Oh, snap.
This is my problem all the time.
I was a little bit late this morning myself.
Yeah, not the end of the world. No, you actually got in on time. Number two, a work ethic.
Huh.
As in while you're at work, work.
But like Rihanna said.
Right. Number three, effort. Number four, body language.
Body language?
Doesn't require talent. It just means you be aware of other people's body language and be aware of your own. Don't need a talent for that. Number five, have some energy. Nothing worse than those people who are always down, they're always depressing. Whenever you're around them, they drain you. You know those people.
Yes.
Horrible. Number six, attitude.
A good attitude?
A good attitude. As in, I'm here today, I'm going to make things work. Not, I'm going to try to screw up these people's day as hard as I can. Number seven, passion. Do what you love and love what you do.
Sure.
Number eight, being coachable. I.e., you can learn from everybody. That's even that prostitute yesterday said she would learn from everybody, right? I mean, that was quite a thing.
She wasn't a prostitute. There's a difference between a prostitute and a... What was she called?
Exactly.
A call girl or something.
But it's the same thing, Flex.
No.
You paid for sex. What do you want me to do?
But
break
I think
it
it's
down?
Different industries.
No. Same industry. Vagina industry.
One's more formal.
No.
One's more structured.
But now you see, now you get into that messy area where you start going, well, she's a street hooker, she's a working girl, she's a...
High-end escort.
You know, you got to be careful, because it's all just terminology for the same job.
But she works in, like, an establishment, like, that is her job to say. Like, that is what she's there in the establishment to do.
Look,
in the gentleman's club.
She's a nice person to talk to. She's a fun, interesting person to talk to, right? Which is why we had her here for an hour and we didn't get bored at all. I mean, my buddy and I were both, like, fascinated.
Completely.
But it is what it is. You must call her whatever you are comfortable with, whatever she's comfortable with, but she's in the business of selling vagina.
I guess so.
Put it any way you like. I mean, would you say someone who sells stuff from their garage isn't a shopkeeper, but someone who has a shop is a shopkeeper? Is eBay a shopkeeper?
No. eBay's...
Is Amazon a shopkeeper?
I don't know. It's very confusing.
See, so just... They basically all sell stuff. And they sell goods and she sells
services.
Vagina. Right. Okay, and the last two on that list when we got horribly distracted by all this hooker talk is doing more than you expected to, and number 10, being prepared. As in, you know, I'll go into meetings sometimes and I can tell that some of the people have just arrived. They haven't thought about the meeting for a second before they arrived. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they're there as, I don't know, they think they're there to take up space. There's another chair around the table. I don't know why those people are there sometimes. Alrighty. Now, with that little bit of useful info for a Thursday morning, let's move straight into the news with Mabane Moloi. Don't forget, Justice will be in later on to explain all these coalition things to us. Which parties are in bed with each other, which parties are only leaning over and giving each other a hand job, and which parties are not even in the same bedroom. Like they might have been married once, but now they have nothing to do with each other. Mm. You know which parties I'm talking about?
Sure.
Right. Of course you do. Okay, let's get into it. Here is the news with Mabane Moloi.
Thank you.
sexy saxophone.
All right, we'll begin with the EFF, who arguably, you know, stole the show yesterday with the bomb that they dropped, if you will.
Yeah, people loved what they said.
Yeah.
See, they've been able to maintain a... Well, tell us what they did first, and then I'll climb in.
Okay, so the EFF, they say that they will help the DA take Joburg, Tshwane, and but there will be no coalitions. And this is why I'm glad that Justice is coming in, because he can explain the nitty-gritty, you know, the details of how all of this is going to play out. Roughly, this means that the DA mayoral candidates can be sworn in, but other issues will be decided on an ad hoc basis.
Right.
It spells minority governments in half of the country's metros. The EFF would exert its influence in municipalities through the budgets and not through coalitions. This is what Malema said yesterday. He also said that the ANC took collective responsibility and did not want to recall its president and was wishy-washy about the EFF's preconditions for a coalition. I think one of their preconditions was that they get rid of Zuma, to which the ANC said, no. Because the EFF want Zuma out.
Oh, that was their precondition for everything.
No.
Their preconditions also included land nationalization, free education.
And they wanted the nationalization of the banks and the mines. So they in other words, they didn't come with a lot of demands.
No e-tolls. I think we can agree with the EFF on that.
Oh, yes.
None of us want those damn e-tolls. They also wanted a probe of the Guptas and no nuclear deal with the Russians.
No.
The EFF is choosing to support opposition parties in all hung municipalities. This includes the IFP in KwaZulu-Natal and the Service Delivery Forum in Rustenburg. You see, again, another one that I never knew even existed.
Yeah, there's a Service Delivery Forum. It's a group of people who... It's like a civic union. I love these things. Even though they're stupid little parties and they're not political of nature, they just want service delivery in this case. This is a bunch of ordinary people like you and me, Mabali, who got together and decided we don't have water and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
The rubbish never gets collected. The roads are full of potholes.
We're going to do something about
it. Yeah, we're going to stand for election. Vote for us. And people did.
Sure.
These guys got a percentage of the vote. I mean, they're like the... They are like the EFF of Rustenburg. So they can decide who the government will be. You know? It's quite a big deal.
Now, what the EFF also wanted was for the DA to not have Herman Mashaba as its mayoral candidate in Johannesburg.
I heard about this. So they're okay with Solly. In fact, Julius said, we like that one in Pretoria. That one. He said, that one is in the wrong party. He should be EFF. So that's interesting. So they're like Solim Simanga. They didn't say anything about Ethel Trollope because I don't think they really know who he is. And frankly, I didn't really know who Ethel Trollope was until very recently. So he'll be the mayor of PE.
Yes.
And then they don't like Herman Mashaba.
No, they do not.
And do you know why?
I don't know. I'm sure there are a number of different reasons.
Because he's a capitalist.
Okay.
So, the EFF largely, ideologically, are socialists. And Herman Mashaba is a capitalist. He believes in a free market economy. They believe in a socialist economy. They are statists in that respect. So they don't like Herman because he's already said, listen, you poor fuckers, if you're poor, it's your fault.
Oh, dear.
Well, Herman's basically gone out there and told every poor person in South Africa, white or black, that the reason they're poor is because they're useless. I'm paraphrasing.
And of course, none of the poor people liked hearing that.
No, of course. Well, I mean, first of all, the poor people are the ones who have time to think about what you've said. They don't have work. So they're sitting there and they're thinking, screw him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger, and he didn't have the most successful campaign in Johannesburg.
No, he really didn't.
And a lot of people don't like him at all. And maybe the DA would have done better to have a different candidate.
So this is what the EFF was saying as part of their preconditions for coalitions. They said, we don't want Herman, but the DA has declined this request by the EFF to change their mayoral candidate.
Now, I heard Musi saying, he's our guy. You can't change your mind now. We're not going to replace him just because the EFF wants a different guy in there.
Yeah. DA leader Musi Maimane said that voters chose Mashaba as its candidate and the party could not undermine that. Interestingly enough, a little bit later on in the day, in fact in the evening, Herman Mashaba basically said that he is willing to walk away from the DA if the party, you know, asked him to do so. But, I mean, I don't think that that's going to happen because Musi already said in the press conference earlier in the afternoon, no, Herman is staying, so I don't know why he went on later on to say that, you know, if the DA wants me to go back to business, then I'm prepared to do that.
Huh.
Okay, sure.
God, it's so complicated. In other words, Joburg's going to probably not have a mayor.
But do you think so?
No, we'll have to have a mayor, but I don't know who it's going to be. If it's Herman, he might not last. If people don't like him, you know?
Yeah, and you know, you've got to appease the people.
Yeah.
Because the people, as we've discovered in this election specifically, the people definitely did have the power in this election, you know?
Right.
The ANC was sitting comfortably, but look what happened.
Well, you know, all those, all the ANC trolls, the paid trolls on Twitter, these guys who earned lots of money from the ANC for tweeting pro-ANC messages all the way through the election and before. Comrade Shaka Sisulu, he still calls himself Comrade Shaka Sisulu.
Is he a troll?
No, definitely. Mkoseli J. Freddy says, Yola, South Africa, we should thank God for the EFF's existence. Now people will have to deliver. Watch this space. Which is maybe how a lot of people feel. So what does Shaka Sisulu say? He says, the only thing being delivered is you to the DA.
Oh, okay. Right.
See?
Okay.
See? Yeah.
All right.
Because Shaka Sisulu would, I doubt, and I mean, I like the guy. I've always had interesting conversations with him. But I doubt that he would find a home in the EFF or the DA. Because the DA and EFF are mostly about merit. And to be in there, you have to be able to contribute something. Whereas the ANC is about, well, you know, you're a Sisulu. So we have to look after you.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's a bit sad. And really, Shaka Sisulu is more than capable of doing his own thing without having to suckle on the teat of the ANC. But then there's so many people suckling on the teat of the ANC right now. I'm surprised there's any space around that teat. And you know what's going to happen? The teat's getting smaller because they're getting edged out of government left, right, and center. So there's going to be less and less milk from the teat. So a lot of these people are going to go hungry. And that's what happens when you belong to a network of patronage or you become someone who's dependent on government handouts and government tenders, is you end up starving eventually. It's just a question of time.
I had supper with a friend of mine the Saturday night that the IEC released the final results.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that he has friends who have benefited hugely from tenders, you know, within the ANC. And he was telling me that all his friends were basically cucking themselves.
Yeah. Because suddenly the teat is too far away for them to reach.
Suddenly, all those millions that they thought were still guaranteed for the next however many years.
Now they're going to have to go out and do what all the rest of us do, work.
Work and hustle, baby. So, basically, the only coalitions
Can
that
I
have been...
Can I taste your juice?
Oh, okay. No, definitely not. I'm still busy with the news. The only coalitions that have been formalized are the ones that have taken place in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro in the Eastern Cape, right?
Yes.
So the parties that are in a coalition, they are, of course, the DA. Then they're in bed with the Congress of the People, the United Democratic Movement, the African Christian Democratic Party, and the Vryheidsfront Plus. This is a real orgy in Nelson Mandela Bay. It's a proper orgy that's happening there. But here's the thing. Saturday is the deadline for coalitions to be finalized, so they could very well still be negotiations and talks taking place. So things could still change from what I've been hearing, because Saturday is the final deadline. You know, I don't know. Somebody might find the right thing to offer the EFF that makes them change their mind. Who knows?
Let's rebalance these calculations.
800 and 700. Listen properly.
Can you imagine if they put him in charge of actually counting the votes? And I mean, we'd be in big trouble. All right. Justice later on has some things to say about how the ANC missed an opportunity for real change, a real turnaround. And he'll tell us about that after 7 this morning. Back to you, Mubs.
Unfortunately, a number of natural disasters affecting various parts of the world, Gareth. We'll begin here at home in South Africa, where the death toll in a fire that engulfed the Sekerbosrand Nature Reserve in Heidelberg, south of Johannesburg, has increased to seven. Seven people killed from that fire. Jeez. The Gauteng Department of Agriculture and Rural Development says that one of three victims injured in the fire, who had been transferred from the from one of the hospitals in Vosloorus to Baragwanath Hospital in Soweto, died on Wednesday morning. Six grass harvesters were killed in the blaze, which started at the Wagon Ranch Farm and spread to the nearby Sekerbosrand Nature Reserve. Then in Sudan, summer floods have killed over 100 people and destroyed 14,000 homes. The UN says that heavy rains and flooding this summer have killed more than 100 people. In a report released earlier this week, it says that the rains and floods killed 110 people between July and August the 15th and destroyed over 14,000 homes, affecting over 161,000 people.
Gee, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
That's a lot of people put out of... I mean, that shouldn't be... The number's that high?
161,000 people have basically been displaced because of flooding. And these floods are apparently common during the rainy season in Sudan, with the largest caused when the Nile and its other tributaries overflow. So, yeah, the UN keeping a close eye on that.
It's a lot of people. Man.
And then over in the United States, a wildfire in California has displaced more than 82,000 people. What the hell is going on this planet? More than 1,300 firefighters were battling the giant blaze, and more were on their way as of yesterday. It is because of the very dry bush, the thick fuel, which basically helps to move the fire move along quickly, making it very dangerous for the public. But yeah, 82,000 people in California affected by the blaze. So just, you know.
God, I mean, people are being burnt down and flooded. And
I know. Mother Nature gets angry with us sometimes.
Nature does not love us. Right? Not right now. I mean, has it ever?
I don't think so.
No.
I think Mother Nature has always just tolerated us. And then every now and again, she's just like, damn the humans.
Or maybe we just are on a rapidly cooling planet. And there are a lot of things about living in this planet that make it uninhabitable, and there are small areas that are habitable. I mean, you know, most of the planet's too cold or too hot to live in.
Yeah.
So there only really are a couple of zones that we that we stupid humans try to squeeze ourselves into.
I read the other day that the reason why Obama has this whole thing to fight global warming is because a couple years back, one of his daughters suffered an asthma attack.
Yeah, so that's the only reason he cares about global warming.
That was that it stated that was the reason why he started concerning.
If that is true, then he's way dumber than I've ever thought he was. Because the only reason he would care is because his daughter had asthma. I mean, wouldn't that be the most ridiculous reason for someone to do something? That's what I hate about the media today. You click on a story, it's clickbait, right? You go into a story on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else where social media streams all these stories. And you realize that most of them are just there to try and get you to go and read what is essentially a line or two so that you can see an ad for some stupid company.
Yeah.
And he's the president of the United States. If all he cared about was his daughter's health, he wouldn't be president of the United States. He'd be with his daughter the whole time. But he wants to make the world better. Plus, what kind of sad, ridiculous human being sits and goes, well, most people will only care about stuff when it actually touches their own family, and they're incapable of thinking of anything bigger. Well, a small person will think that. That's who.
Yeah, Flex, look, I don't know where you read that article, but it's very misleading because, you know, world leaders these days are basically required to care about global warming. It's like a mandate for them. They have to care.
It's like that's, caring about the oil price.
Yeah,
or,
that is why, you know, they get together and you have things like climate action summits, for example, where all the world leaders get together.
Yeah, can you imagine if the only motivation he had for going to, you know, World Economic Forum meetings about global climate change, the only motivation... oh no, I got to get on that plane just because of Sasha or Malia's asthma.
Yeah, no, that's not how he has to get flex. It's part of his, like, you know, you get a job spec when you apply for work. It's part of his duties and responsibilities as a world leader is to care about climate change and global warming.
Allah Akbar, death to America.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to get into some sport?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, Flex, we've got Jeffrey Yates on the line. Someone says, please. It's Dominic. He says, please skip Ben's sport until he gets back. I'm not enjoying it, but we'll...
Oh, Dominic.
Jeffrey, it's up to you to make it right today, all right?
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Go ahead, Jeffrey. How are you?
No pressure at all.
Oh, God. Well, it would help if you had a good Skype line.
Oh, is it that bad?
No, it's okay. It's better now, but it didn't start well.
All right, sorry.
All right.
Look, where do you even start?
We start with a bit of Skype line. Get him back, Flex. This is ridiculous. You know what? I'll do the sport because I've got something here for you. I actually prepared something.
Ooh.
Here's the medal table at the moment. In fifth place with 28 medals overall, 11 gold, 8 silver, and 9 bronze is Germany.
Okay.
In fourth place with 12 gold, 14 silver, 15 bronze, 41 total is Russia.
Oh, Russia, who...
Yeah, despite the ban. I mean, poor Russia. You remember that one athlete who said, it's because I'm Russian that I'm being treated so badly. Well, it doesn't look like Russia's doing too badly at number 4 on the medal count. Number 3 is China with 54 medals in total. They've got 19 gold, 15 silver, 20 bronze. Now, this is interesting, because at number 2 is Great Britain. Even though they've only got 50 medals, which is 4 less than China, they have more gold and they have more silver.
The gold trumps the silver and bronze.
Right, so Great Britain has 19 gold, same as China, but they have 19 silver, as opposed to China's 15 silver.
Oh.
And they have 12 bronze, as opposed to the Chinese is 20 bronzes.
Sure.
So that means that Britain comes in at number 2 and the number 1 country at the Olympics, unsurprisingly, the United States of America, with almost double the number of medals that Britain has. 93 medals in total, 30 of them are gold. More than half of those are Michael Phelps on his own. Silver 32 and bronze 31. So that's the medal table. Let's try Jeffrey again. Is he on the phone or on Skype this time?
On the phone.
Okay, on the phone. Let me get him on the phone. Hello, Jeffrey. Let's see.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah, that's better. How are you, dude?
Yeah, not too bad. Sorry about that.
Not at all. All right, you got some sport for us?
Yeah, let's jump straight into it with Kostas Semenya's 800-meter win in her heat. She went through to the semifinals in a time of 1:59.31.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's hope she can continue on the great form that she has, and join the likes of Wade Fenwick in the gold medal tally. So that's quite exciting.
All right, now hang on. This is her heat. So when is her race?
her race. The final event is on Saturday evening, I believe. I don't have that exact time for you.
Okay. Well, I don't. This is not your full time job, so that's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And then in other news, let's give a shout out to the other South Africans. Eroy Jalen, she went through in the 5,000 meter final. And Sunette Fulion, she booked her spot in the javelin final. So hopefully these guys can add to the total medal tally.
All right.
Moving on to Usain Bolt. I mean, when this guy gets into frame, he steals the show. He went through to the bookie spot in the final in a time of 1978. And surprisingly, Justin Gatlin and Johan Blake both failed to qualify. So that was quite a shock.
Right.
We move on to the women's 200-meter final. Fellow Jamaican Elaine Thompson, she got her second gold medal, which is a fantastic result. It just seems like these Jamaicans are keying up when it comes to athletics. So, shout out to them.
They clearly have. They have something going on there. There's something about Jamaica and the Olympics. It's where they shine. I reckon the whole of Jamaica, they used to, you know, it used to be about the West Indies cricket team, which they have to share with the rest of the West Indies. But the cool thing about Jamaica at the Olympics is that they bat way above their average.
100%.
Or rather, they punch above their weight is the way to say it.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we'll move on to, well, the other news coming out of the Olympics is the Brazilians 6-0 smashing, which saw Neymar scoring his fastest goal in Olympic history in 15 seconds. So they booked their spot against Germany in the men's
football. Who did
football.
They beat?
Honduras, was it? Or
Honduras, okay, yeah. Okay.
Honduras, yeah. Right. Unfortunately, Nigeria lost to Germany. So Brazil's going to meet Germany in the final. This kicks off on Saturday at 10:30 on Super Sport 3. So, yeah, you can watch that match.
Okay.
I thought I'd add some golf news, just if Ben's listening. Ashley Simon and Paula Rito is representing South Africa in the women's golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This teed off yesterday. I have no idea who the leader is. Someone by the lady of Harare.
No, don't worry about
Tugoran.
It. This is not going to help any of us.
Anyway, good luck with that. In other rugby news, SARU president Oregon Hoskins stepped down.
That's quite a big story.
Quite a bit of a shock. Yeah. He went on to say, "I really enjoyed a remarkable 10.5 years, one of the most high-profile roles in SA sport, and enjoyed some incredible highs."
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bit of a shock.
I didn't know he got high in office either. So that is interesting.
In other rugby news, the rugby championship this weekend.
Uh-huh.
South Africa is playing Argentina at Nelspruit. Kickoff is at 5 o'clock. The squad announcement is going to be at 1 o'clock today, so look out for that. Johan Huisman set to make an appearance, hopefully. So, yeah, it's all dependent on the announcement of that squad. And then just to end off with some football news, we saw Barcelona beat Sevilla 2-0. In the Spanish Cup, so they get their first trophy of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And a 5-0 aggregate. So aren't they just going to dominate for the rest of the season by the looks of it?
All right.
And then Paul Pogba of Man United supporting a new hairstyle. He's peroxided his head and he sprayed this lightning bolt on the one side. It looks mental. So if anyone wants to have a look at that. Man United's playing Southampton at 9 o'clock at Old Trafford tomorrow evening.
All right.
And then just to end off with some cricket news, and South Africa play New Zealand in one of their test matches in Kingsmead. This kicks off at, bats off at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anyone's interested in that, New Zealand have lost the last 5 test matches they've played against South Africa, so hopefully they can continue with that bad form.
All right, very nice.
And then just to end off very quickly with a sports quote from none other than Michael Phelps, Olympic champion.
Yes.
You can put a limit. You can't put a limit on anything. The more you dream, the farther you get.
Oh, that's nice. All right, listen. I'll give you about an 8 out of 10 for content this morning, but your delivery is kind of cuck. So I'm gonna give you about a 4 out of 10 for that because you sound a bit bored with your own sport. Yeah, altogether not too bad though. Jeffrey, probably our best attempt at sport this week, with the exception obviously of Ben's dad, who has a natural gift.
All right, well, brilliant. Thanks for that, guys, and thanks for the show, and enjoy the studio.
All right, dude, thank you. There we go. There's Jeffrey. Not bad. Let's give him a round of applause, everybody. All right, nicely done. Okay, here's from Ben in Thailand, a short voice note. Do I play both, or do I just play the one? Because one you can hardly hear what he's saying.
You only play the second one.
Yeah.
The first one's rubbish, terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible quality, right? Okay, here it is. Listen, here's Ben.
Sawadee from Thailand. It is Thursday, I think. I don't know. We're losing track of the days here. I would love to chat to you guys live, but just timing-wise, we're up in the, on the road already by the time the show comes on. It's like a five-hour gap or something. But today was really cool. We went up to the coast, had a long sort of road trip on the bike, which is a lot more solid than it was yesterday. I think it just needs to be ridden. It kind of goes straighter the more you ride it. I got stuck in a couple of roadblocks. Obviously, with the bombings recently, people are still quite aware of everything. Yeah, so I got frisked by a Thai guy. The second guy is slightly more vigorous than the first guy, which is always a treat. But everywhere we seem to go, I'm just like the elephant man to Daniela, no matter what it is. We go to the spa, and the woman like, ah, oh, sexy lady, or it's like taxi, and they're always talking to her. So I might as well just be the elephant man on the sidelines.
I am not an animal.
But she thinks it's quite funny, so good for her. Yeah, we found some really cool spots today. The great thing about Thailand is that obviously it's a bit of a dump when you go to all the touristy places because there's like 1,001 yobs just getting hammered and look for prostitutes. But if you go a little bit further out from that, you get these amazing places. And we found this really amazing restaurant deck bar earlier where it was just us and the most amazing view. So, yeah, things are still going well, still very much alive, still very happy. And, yeah, looking forward to getting back now. Been missing you guys a whole bunch. Aww. And we haven't listened to the show from here and there. Sounding as good as ever. Cool. Chat soon.
Thanks, Ben. There we go. Ben the Elephant Man from Thailand. Isn't that exciting?
Very cool.
I got something exciting to tell you. There was an interesting question asked the other day, and we're going to be starting a science feature soon on the show with Sarah Wild. I'll tell you more about that once it's all tied down. But do you want to know what the loudest thing in the world is?
The loudest thing in the world?
Yeah.
Are you curious
what it might be?
Well, now that you've asked, yes. This is obviously measured according to number of decibels registered, right?
Well, you don't really want to know because it would kill you.
Oh, so it's not Maria Sharapova on a tennis court.
No. So if a sound is soft enough, you will hear it with your eardrum, which will transfer the sound vibrations, the frequency, the wave. Mm. You're listening to us right now. It takes that. In the middle ear, it turns that into an electrical impulse, which goes to certain parts of your brain, auditory parts of your brain, which then process the sound, and that's how you hear my voice or you hear anything else, and that's a sound. Now, if it's a little louder than that, it can do damage. It can even rip a hole in your eardrum.
Shoof.
Which is how, you know, if a gun goes off right next to your ear, for example, you could end up with damage to that part of your ear. If the sound is even louder than that, it can push you like a rugby player tackling you if it's really, really loud. And it can even tear apart bricks and splinter glass. Sound can kill you. Now, on the morning of August 27th, 1883, there were a bunch of shepherds, I suppose you could call them, ranchers in Australia in Alice Springs. They heard a sound like two shots from a rifle. On that moment in history, the Indonesian volcanic island of Krakatoa was blowing itself to pieces 2,233 miles away. You can still see what's left of Krakatoa. It's the steaming, smoking ring of fire in the ocean that has, for over 100 years, still stood as testament to this enormous explosion. Now, scientists think this is probably the loudest sound humans have ever accurately measured. They heard the sound of Krakatoa thousands of miles away. There's also physical evidence that the sound of the volcano's explosion traveled all the way around the globe multiple times. Can you believe that?
I can.
Now, nobody heard Krakatoa in England or in Toronto. There wasn't a boom. But instead, what those places recorded were spikes in atmospheric pressure. That's how big that explosion was. Sound is very, very powerful, so that doesn't mean it isn't there when you don't always hear it. It can be an invisible or inaudible sound wave, but it's still there. Now, I mean, can you imagine if you were close?
You would have died, right?
Oh, yeah. If the sound didn't kill you, the shockwave would have killed you. If it wasn't the shockwave, it would have been the lava. If it wasn't the lava, it would have been the fire. Something would have killed you.
You would have died.
But you can actually look up Krakatoa and do a little Google search on this, and you'll figure out for yourself how dangerous that moment in 1883 was.
Do you know what the two loudest animals in the world are?
Let me hear.
So coming in at number one, you have the blue whale.
You know, Flex, you cuck at countdowns. You start with the... Didn't you hear me doing the medal table just now? You start number five and you go to number one. Okay. So you build up to the big winner. But now you've spoiled it.
But when there's only
whale.
Two.
Well, start at number two.
Okay, so coming in at number two, you have the howler monkey.
Okay.
I've never seen one or heard one.
Okay.
And then coming in at number one, you have the blue whale, which is louder than a jet. It reaches 140 decibels. A human shouting is just 70 decibels.
Oh, really?
So that's pretty hectic. Louder than a jet. But of course, that must be the sounds you were talking about.
This is a howler monkey. And that's a human, obviously, screaming back at them because humans are so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That they always feel they have to fight with everything else. I wonder if we have the sound of a blue whale. Let me
Wouldn't
see if I can
that?
Find it. Let's see. You want to hear the sounds of the blue whale? Here from National Geographic, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Wild Chronicles.
This is from 1982, wasn't it?
Oceans are alive with sound.
There we go.
Sound that most of us never hear. But there's one man who's definitely listening hard. John Kalambokita studies...
All right, well, there we go.
You sounds like the...
Underwater. Yeah,
it sounded like the blue whale was about to drop a mad beat in that documentary.
All right. Let's move on. We've got Anthea Gardner on standby to tell us about our money. And don't we love that? Even if you don't have money, it's nice to hear about how other people's money is going up and down. Because one day, who knows, you might be able to do this too. Let's go. Here she is. Wouldn't be Anthea without her theme song.
Here I fight for the money, so hard for it, honey. Here I fight for the money, so you better treat her right.
Morning, Anthea. What's up?
Good morning, Gareth. We need to start with a rand this morning.
Ah, yes. Let's start with a rand.
Okay. So yesterday it was trading at 13.44 to the US dollar, but this morning it's back to 13.28. And that's because last night the U.S. Fed released the minutes of their previous meeting. And I think, really, the Fed are in a bind. The committee is completely split over when to raise interest rates, and it's definitely reflecting in the volatility of their currency.
Huh.
And, of course, every other currency in the world, right?
Yes, of course.
Because the dollar is the standard unit of currency for trade. It's also the currency of reserve. And, of course, our commodities are priced in dollars. So I think we can expect quite a bit of volatility still this year. And, of course, like us, if you're predominantly medium to long-term investors, then that's hard to stomach. But if you're a trader, then I think volatility presents opportunities. And I'll give you a very good example of this. Let's talk about Nacional Pers. So,
Naspers, yeah.
Yeah. You sold at 2,300 Rand per share. It traded down to 2,100. In fact, it traded below that at one stage. And we've been waiting for the sign to get back into it. And yesterday, Tencent reported after the Chinese market closed. A really lovely set of results.
Oh, good.
Yes, 9% ahead of expectations. And because they reported after the market had closed, the Tencent share price didn't actually react. But it wasn't long before Naspers reacted. It was trading in negative territory before Tencent's results, spiked as much as 6% higher at one stage. I've just checked the Tencent share price now in Hong Kong, and it's almost 6% higher this morning.
Huh.
So I'm, yeah, very nice. All good. I'm expecting a continuation of the Naspers bounce when our market opens this morning. So Naspers is now trading at about a discount to Tencent. And if the local business reports in line with expectations, that's all they have to do. They don't have to shoot the lights out. I think we should see a really nice little rally in the Naspers share. Closed 2,230 last night. So really still giving you a chance to get into it if you didn't get into it yesterday.
Okay, so you would say now is the time.
Yes.
Buy
go
some
buy
of those
some
Nespresso shares. All right, good. Okay, I'm on it.
And then another share, which if you don't own, gave you a chance to get in at a decent level, although you know I own the share. It's one of my top picks, is Sun International. Mm-hmm. Out of the blue yesterday, they released a trading statement which really surprised the market a bit. They said that EBITDA, so earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, mm-hmm. would be only 4 to 8% higher than last year. Unfortunately, they're still making a headline loss of between R3.70 and R4.20 per share, which is better, meaning smaller, than last year's loss by over 160%. And I know, we don't like loss-making companies.
Yeah.
But they have got a huge expansion drive on at the moment, and they're repositioning the business. Maybe not repositioning, but rather focusing on the profitable areas of the business. So it's trading on a 14 times forward PE, and they've still got this big Pretoria asset to come online. What's it called again? Menlyn Maine, right? That's the Menlyn Maine complex.
Right.
And they've got value to be extracted from the Latin American business. The share was down 5% at one stage yesterday after their trading update. It closed just 1.3% lower at about R91 a share. So, I mean, it wasn't great. And if you don't hold the share, then I would say there's no reason not to buy it.
Okay.
Because I think next year this Menlyn Maine complex will really give it a nice little kicker.
All right. Okay. Good move.
And then on the economic front, retail sales numbers finally showed their true colors yesterday. So, you know, I've spent the first half of this year wondering how we get retail sales growth of 4.5% like we saw in May, mm-hmm. when the economy is just barely hobbling along. It's just not sustainable. And here it is. So yesterday, the month-on-month retail sales numbers, so the difference from May to June, fell by 2%. So retail sales were negative. And year-on-year, so compared to June last year, sales were actually up 1.7%. Consensus was expecting 3.6% year-on-year, but I think that was because it was anchored in the May number. So still a bit lower than expectations, but still, it's good news, believe it or not. And the good news is that it's not negative, but more in line with kind of what I think should be the right number. And so if you combine yesterday's retail sales numbers with last week or the week before's manufacturing output surprise, which was to the upside, remember that was a 4.5% increase, mm-hmm. I think this is a positive sign. I think that this could mean, like I'm actually counting on this, that we're going to avoid a recession. That's what I'm taking
out
of it.
That's terrific news.
Yeah, I should stop talking now, right?
That's possibly the most important thing you could say, but I have a feeling there's a sting in the tail.
I'm going to go with it. I'm going to stop talking. It's not often I get to finish with good economic news.
Well, can we quickly go back to the Rand? Because I think there's something quite extraordinary going on here. The Rand has performed better. I mean, yesterday, for example, I was looking at the figures just for yesterday. And it was up against the dollar, up against the pound, up against the euro, up against the Japanese yen, up against the Chinese yuan, up against the Canadian dollar, up against the Swiss franc, up against every major currency, the Brazilian real, all of them, the Hong Kong dollar, everything, right?
Absolutely.
Across the board, up, 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 up. In fact, it is up. I mean, even the Bitcoin went down against the Rand by 4.3%. So it's quite extraordinary that, and this has been the way it's been for the Rand for at least the last, what, three, 4 weeks?
Oh, no, it's been more than that,
since Brexit?
It? Yeah. And that was, what, 23rd of June?
So really, I'm going to say it again, the less well Britain does, the better for us. So in other words, let us not support anything British from now on, because it's good for our bottom line.
That theory of yours, yes. I know, it is quite amazing that the Rand is, I think it is actually the best performing currency for July.
Yeah, I'd imagine it is.
And you know, we are up against all sorts of other emerging market currencies. So, by the way, this reminds me, I read something the other day that the worst performing currency this year is the Mongolian, and I forget the currency's name. I'll have to Google it.
All right.
But if you want to know the worst performing currency, it's the Mongolians.
What did they ever do?
Yeah, I think their economy is in a bit of a mess.
I don't even know. Do they have an economy? It's called the Togrog.
Oh, goodness. Again?
The Mongolian Togrog. I kid you not.
Like swearing.
No, really, that's what it is. The Togrog.
Yeah. So I think from an emerging market perspective, you know, we're complaining we don't have growth and our politics we're worried about and all sorts of things. But probably we're the best of a bad bunch, maybe.
Right.
That's why our currency is performing so well.
Okay, I'd rather be the best of a bad bunch than the worst of a bad bunch.
Exactly.
All right, very
we'll
good.
Take it.
Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Awesome. There's Anthea Gardner with a look at your money this morning. Almost 7 o'clock. We'll get into seeing what's going on in the burning platform with Justice Malala. That's brought to you by Nando's. Next, all the analysis that you could possibly want. Sometimes he's here for half an hour. Sometimes he's here for 45 minutes. It all depends how much we have to talk about. And if you have anything you want to ask him, then call us now to speak to Justice on 0861-555-189. You got it, Mubs?
0861-555-189.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com.